Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Copyrighted, is this shit? Ding, ding, ding.
Is it copyrighted? Ding, ding. All right, I got you. I got your non-copyrighted Christmas music. Okay, ready? Okay, I got one. I had to like improv it in my head. Ready?
Let the boots come off by the fire. You see Santa waiting there. You go, hey Saint Nick, what are you wearing? It seems like robe and lingerie. He's like, I'm jolly here, come take a sit. Don't you want some peppermint stick? And you're like,
all right, you're done. You're done.
I don't know. If you should have stopped me earlier.
We just walked into our parents about to get busy in front of the fireplace.
No. I said Santa. He's there for the both. Santa's like, I got gifts for all, baby.
Parents were nice this year.
Something like that. Welcome to Fantail Cafe, and I know what you're thinking. What was that? Well, Merry Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays. If you don't celebrate holidays, happy.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. We, Oscar and I are both Puerto Rican, so theoretically our celebration was yesterday on Christmas Eve.
And my mom was very mad.
You just assume Saturday Christmas Eve, yet you're just like, I know.
No, she's already told me.
What?
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to be there for Christmas Eve with her, so.
Aww.
She's very mad because, like, Adler will be with his mother, but the other kids will be with us, and we'll have some other family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, you know, that's what happens when you have two families when you get married. So, you know, you got to share the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, we can, like, go there and hang out with you all day Christmas. And she's like, you know, every year we do Christmas Eve. Every year. Since you were born. And I'm just like,
you know what?
Ooh.
You know what? And it's pandemic season, so, like, people shouldn't be hanging out like crazy. Everyone should be only sticking with their families. I hope everyone's safe this holiday season, for real. This year has been kicking everyone's ass. And the fact that at least you can enjoy Christmas, even if it's just you, I hope our voices are helping. If not, I hope you're watching something you enjoy or doing something you enjoy. If you're with family, enjoy them what you have, even if it's just one person. And Oscar, just let's all be appreciative. We weren't a baby thrown in a trash where three homeless people had to find us and try to figure out what to do with us. Because that was a Christmas segue into our last Christmas film of the month. And we're going hard on our theme. This one stretches it hard. Not because it's not a Christmas film, I'm saying. Because technically the film goes past Christmas a bit. Oh, we're going to have that argument. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Duke's up. But we're going, technically it's Christmas.
Technically it's Christmas.
With us. I was going to say with you, but I'm like, it's us. You're watching it with us. But the main thing is this. We did a movie on Gremlins, a live action old film about kind of Christmas. We did Happy, a modern live action take, TV-wise, of the Christmas day. And now we're doing the anime film Tokyo Godfathers.
And I did send you that picture before we started.
I never argued Gremlins wasn't Christmas. I was just, it's not family friendly. They're trying to go like, it's fun for the whole family. Watch me microwave a gremlin. Watch it explode and stab it.
I was at Barnes & Noble and they had a Christmas children's book called Gremlins, Gizmo's 12 Days of Christmas. And they have one of the pages.
It's the fucking
This is a kid's book. It's the one where he's decapitating the gremlin. The sword is swung, and the headless, the gremlin's head is floating midair on the page.
Now I know what it means to be a kid these days. I can go hard. I can go hard on my stories. But we're talking about Tokyo Godfathers, a classic anime film And
ooh. I mean, it's not. It came out 03.
So
it's
not like that's 17 years. You good?
No.
Did you just realize how old 03 is now? I was in third grade.
I'm just contemplating my mortality right now.
Yeah, just contemplate it while I give some people some information. Like, this movie, the main standout thing about it is, like, fact-wise, is it's created by Satoshi Kon. Do you remember who that is, Oscar?
Yeah, he made other anime movies.
He actually did. He was a very well-known anime director. I actually really like his work. Do you know the film Paprika?
I do.
What about the show Paranoia Agent?
I do.
Boom. You know
this man. It still mind fucks me to this day.
Yeah, the same man made this one. And like we do.
I didn't know he did Paranoia Agent. That's
really? No, yeah. Yeah, he did. You can see in the art style, definitely. He has a very unique... Just jumping right in, you know our structure by now. If you don't, let me give you it real quick. We talk about story. We talk about when it comes to animation. But we talk about cinematography. We talk about animation. We talk about... basically all to answer the question, does this stand up to today's contemporary standards of what makes a good film? Now, are we telling you this is like the hard, true good film? No, we're saying for our views, what we like in shows, TV, geek culture, and basically just good film, TV, story, whatever, we're just trying to grab our interpretation and put it into it and show you this is why it's worth watching or this is why it should be avoided for X reasons. But it's really just our opinion, and we're trying to break it down for you. So, starting with the story, I want to say this, Oscar. Mm-hmm. It is very, very... And I bet there are stories that you're going to... I bet I'm going to shoot myself in the foot by saying this, because you're going to be like, oh, I can name three movies that do this, and I didn't know. I think it's such a unique concept. Okay, hit me with a three.
Ready?
Yeah.
You ready for this? I got none.
Exactly. It's so good. Like, Tokyo Godfather's concept is three homeless people, while arguing, find a baby that was abandoned in the trash, and then they, on Christmas Day, is it Christmas Day or Christmas Eve? I don't know.
I believe it's Christmas Day.
So on Christmas Day, they find a baby, and then it becomes their adventure of trying to find the parents of said baby. And,
because Miss Hana really, really wanted a baby.
Miss Hana really wanted a baby, and also she even says it herself, really wanted to work through her parental issues through other people. She did not hide that. She was like, I want to meet the parents so that way I can decide if I can forget mine. This whole
movie was working out your issues through other people.
100%. They were like, you cannot work it out on your own. And like,
oh, bro, like that, just the beginning part. That,
spoilers
that
for the lady... movie, we're not going to hold it back.
Yeah, we're gonna hold back. It came out 17 years ago, apparently. So, like the part where like they're in the soup and bread line, and she's like, Miss Hana's like, it might be a Christmas miracle. I might have a baby.
Yeah.
And then the lady's coming down the escalator. She's like, it's true.
She was like, it was a miracle.
It was a miracle.
I nearly died. Like, this movie's comedy is very well done because it's weird enough. This is going to sound weird. I feel like the comedy was never truly the focus of the film. So that when it hits you hard. So the things I liked about this film, talking story. And normally we have a structure of going back and forth. Christmas, feel free to speak whenever you want, Oscar. Jump in, jump out. I don't care because... We're just chilling today. This is just some eggnog by the fire, but I live in an apartment where there is no fireplace, and you're not next to your fireplace. Neither of us brought eggnog.
It's right there.
But I have a tree. Merry Christmas, Spider-Man. Wait, you said last episode I have nothing of Starfish King? Boom, starfish!
That's a spider-fish.
Spider-fish. Does whatever a spider fish does. Can it drown? That's why it's there.
No, okay, so think about that. If you shot a web underwater, we're way off topic right now. If you shot a web underwater, would it like actually like projectile shoot or just be like...
I think since it's a creature of water, it would have adapted and have a web.
It
did adapt.
It got bit, but it's a starfish that got bit by a radioactive spider.
How did the spider make it down there?
It just drowned. And in the last, like, F-U to life, it was just, I'm gonna bite the starfish.
Little facts about starfish. They don't have brains, so they're just natural-born predators. So this thing is going on a killing spree.
So your mascot for the past 15 years has no brain.
I knew I never should have said that. So Tokyo Godfathers, what matters about it? So the thing I want to talk about. I hate you. Oh, that's nasty! For our audio listeners, he spit his coffee, but slowly.
I try to keep it in.
I hate you. So Tokyo Godfathers.
That's called recycling.
Oh God, I'm bald. Tokyo Godfathers. Oh my God. I need a minute to recover. Okay.
Tokyo Godfathers is about
Tokyo Godfathers.
Three homeless.
Yes.
A runaway.
Yes.
Old bum.
Yes.
And a
transgender.
We'll go with trans, yeah.
No. They were transgender because in the beginning they said, I may have been born a man, but God knows. Like, God may have given me a body of a man, but he knows I'm truly a woman on the inside.
That's not what he said at all. He said, like, God gave me balls by accident.
That's funny. I made it more eloquent. God gave me... Because she did
Ms.
say,
Hana
like...
was anything but eloquent. Well, you know what, actually? She had a pretty... good amount of haikus in there.
Her haiku game was strong.
Yeah, horse broke feet.
That's not. You keep pushing out the thing for the last. We could talk about that haiku another day. That was a great haiku. But so the thing I really enjoyed about the film is when you look at the character breakdowns of them, I feel it. It was strange that they tackled it in two ways that I really did enjoy. One, it showed a side of... because anime likes to show Japan through one side only. Especially because once you go through genres and topics... like, showing the high school life has always been a thing in anime. But, like, especially more in contemporary times, they'd show it a lot. And through that times, unless they're trying to be kind of, like, more risque and more dark... they really show Japan in a bright light. Like, they show the culture as very good. I love Tokyo Godfathers is because they don't. They show Japan through the eyes of these homeless people, and they show how they function and how they're treated. How Jin just gets beaten, and they're like, we're just cleaning up trash. And like,
now, I do want to do some research, because, like, from what it looks like, obviously they're homeless. Yes. Obviously... they don't have the amenities, you know, showering, things like that. But I think, like, the public services Japan has, like, they all had, like, those little hut things. They didn't make that. It looked like it was, like, maybe, like,
really?
Set
I think
up by
it is.
The city or something like that.
No, I think those are handmade because those were all cardboard boxes. And I say this as because when I lived in Austin.
In the beginning one.
Yes. Like, where
the
neighborhood
thing later in
the neighborhood thing they were living in?
Yeah. It looked like a bunch of like what's that disaster relief?
I know what you're talking about. They have some materials of that, but this is because I actually seen these before. This is prevalent in Los Angeles, and I saw this in Austin, where in a restaurant I won't name where I worked, in the parking lot, a homeless community started to build from the bottom because it was on top of like this. I wouldn't say hill, but kind of. But like man-made hill side, like in its own plaza that was elevated. So from the bottom all the way into the parking lot of the restaurant, they were building a community like this. Homeless people actually to create a sense of community. And because actually they support each other really well because there are like many reasons why. There's many reasons why people are homeless. They actually develop these small community areas where they built shelters together. Because if you look at it, it's tape,
like cardboard. Like a little small shanty town?
Yes. No, yes, they actually really do because it is a way of working together. Now, am I saying they're all friendly together or like it's a huge community like that? Not entirely, but it's like you feel a little safer. than just building your place on the street by yourself and doing it.
Yeah, I think being on the streets is terrifying.
Oh yeah, and at least there you can see they felt like they had a community. Even when you realize like three people are living in one, how many more people are in that community? But yeah, just to show like they have that, maybe some, but you see in the beginning there are some community efforts to help them, as in they got food for free. But I can't tell if that was because of Christmas or that was just people helping.
I think out. It was just I think it was just something that the church was doing.
Yeah,
they're doing like a little Christmas church service. Mm-hmm. Let's give stuff out to the to the homeless and things like that. So
yeah.
I think that's all it was a little church thing, little event.
Yeah, and I actually liked how they showed that, because especially when you know some of their culture, how the team behind the movie played with the concept of what the homeless people were and how they're treated. So, and the reason that matters is because not only with that fight scene, there's one scene that matters, the train scene. So I've learned this recently, the train system in Japan is not like New York in the sense of this. In New York, you'll hear people talking, you hear showtime, people dance or do whatever. In Japan, it's actually considered very rude to speak loudly or like speak on the train at a high volume, where like, because it's meant to be, this is a community space. This is not meant to, this is shared by everyone. You need to respect that. And what I liked is our three main characters, minus the girl who was the runaway. I'm just blanking on her name at the moment. They were speaking loudly. And everyone,
it was Mikio. Mm-hmm. I forgot, Mikio something.
Yeah, and like she like covered her, like everyone was covering their mouths and their nose because they were like, they stink, but like they weren't talking loud until someone broke and yelled. Besides that, those two, the other two were like speaking loudly, and like automatically, not only visually did we see a separation from society in them, in the sense of the people who thought they stank just moved away and everyone was crowded together, yet these three people had all this room, not mm-hmm. as well as they were speaking loudly and kind of going, we're not part of this society. I don't know. It's like little touches like that that made me go like, that was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they were ridiculed for being homeless the whole film. It was just
mm-hmm.
kind of sad.
Oh, yeah, like how the dude wanted them to leave the convenience store.
Yeah.
Though, oddly enough, the only person who treated them well was another quote-unquote outsider of normal society, the gang. And you can attribute that to because they saved the Godfather's life. Yeah, like you could say like, well, that could be because he saved the Godfather's life. But no, the only people who treated the homeless people well were all outsiders of society. The gang fed them, gave them co-celebrations with them. No one judged them at all when they were there. And then the subsequent person who murdered the bride of the groom of the wedding, her family, like he just drops her off with the baby and the girl right at his, you assume's wife.
Yeah.
The wife's place. And they're treated so well. As well as the I don't know if you would say they were transgender or like they were just in drag specifically, but the club.
Well, I think there's a mix there because mm-hmm. like they show that they did drag shows there.
Mm-hmm. But like that club like picked up a dying homeless man, fixed him up, and were taking care of him before they even knew who they were friends with.
Because they have that outsider feel. They're used to being felt lesser than what society mm-hmm. deems them. So when they see this guy, they're like, no one's going to help this guy. We have to help this guy.
And I found that so interesting because mm-hmm. everyone else who's considered to be part of the society mistreats them. Only people I saw who were quote unquote part of the society that treated them well were... oddly enough, the community people, when they were talking, I think that was because they were talking shit about somebody else, like their tent.
And I didn't know this until like this year, because I was reading some articles about like sort of like the sexism that they're still fighting in Japan.
Oh yeah, massive.
Yeah, like women in the workplace like being required to wear high heels mm-hmm. and not being allowed to wear glasses because it's not as attractive. It's like, oh, you gotta wear contacts or nothing. And it's just like, this is, it's very strange, because we always consider Japan at an elevated level in technology and stuff like that. And we, you know, sort of like also like prim and proper and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we would think that they'd be a little bit, you know, more advanced in certain aspects, when in some cases they are, in some cases they aren't. So it's like, and then going back and watching this movie, I was just like, huh, okay, this is a new side of Japan we don't get to see.
No, definitely, because especially when you look at the concept of like Japan, like they have some xenophobic, I think that's the right word, basically, you correct me if I'm wrong, please, where they are so focused.
You said xenophobic, and I was like, you're like racist against xenomorphs from Alien?
No. I think that's just saying, not necessarily racist. I think it means you're focused on your race more than anything. Not like necessarily everyone's lesser. You're afraid of impurity. That's why I don't know if I'm using the phrase correctly, but it's like they're focused in Japan of, I've seen, because I want to go to Japan, and this isn't me, I want to specify, hating on the country. I want to go visit them. I love them. Hell, I used to live in it when I was like a little baby, little toddler who has like some memories of the area.
I have dislike or prejudice against people from other countries.
That's what it is. That specifically, because I say this as someone like when I was really much younger, really, really, really. I'm not trying to oversell. Like, I grew up in Japan. No, I spent 3 years there. I have some memories, but my brother was the one who actually went to school there. But I've had friends there, and this is the most important part. I'm trying to say, I actually love the country. I really do. But also, it's like, because I love it, I have to kind of say this at the same time. They're very prejudiced against outsiders, down to they have restaurants where it's only Japanese only, because of fear of their culture being changed from an outside force. That's where it comes from. It's not a, we are better than other people. It's a, our society, when you look at it, is based off rules, and their focus is on, I'm trying to remember, because I saw something and people were talking about it. They said their focus on society is on others. Like, the way they teach empathy isn't, you hurt them, imagine how you would feel. It's, you hurt them, imagine how they feel. It is you putting yourself in their shoes, but you're also not focused on your shoes. You're focused on their shoes. And that's why, like, seeing in this movie is, this is going to sound weird, this movie does such a good job saying all this without being over voicing it too much in your face about it. They show you it in this beautiful story, but they show you it. They never tell you it, but they show you it. Like, when you look at it, it's like, only the people who are considered outsiders really help the homeless people in this. But also, it's just a good story about, like, these three people. Weird tangent, I know I went on, but
No, you're fine. And like, we're focused on the culture aspects of it, because it's not our culture. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Japan is one of those places I really want to go to, because the culture is so different.
Yes.
And when I go to places like that, I don't want to, not necessarily, like, invade or impose my beliefs. I want to get there and immerse myself in their culture.
Yes.
I want to take that in and let that change my mindset for the time that I'm there. Mm-hmm. And hopefully whatever is better about it, bring that back with me in sort of my life experience. Mm-hmm. So that's what I always do when I travel anywhere, even if it's just a different city or things like that.
Exactly.
But so exactly. Like, if I go there and, like, I remember there used to be a place called Ichi in Killeen. It was a Japanese restaurant, and it was like Japanese everything. Like, they had Japanese newspapers, Japanese news was on, and, like, they had no English menus. They had only chopsticks and all this other stuff. And it was like, I had to learn how to eat chopsticks or I wasn't going to eat.
Yeah, that's fair.
She, I was like, do you have a fork? And she's like, and she, like, grabbed my hand and she showed me how to do it. And, like, yeah. So, when in Rome, as they say.
No, yeah. And but, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
One thing I want to bring about this film that I really enjoyed is that there wasn't any archetypes and very few tropes.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
Like, this wasn't a hero's journey. Mm-mm. This wasn't a man versus nature. This was just, like, all man versus man, but within themselves, And it was just a very strange way of storytelling, because like in the beginning, like the old man, the old bum gives you like a he gives you like a sad story. And you're like, okay, this is anime, blah blah, you get a sad background story. But like none of it is added as a peer. So like everything you understand as the story goes changes. And the story doesn't ever go in a direction you expect. Everything is flipped on its axis every few minutes. It's like, oh, we're going on this journey. No, this is actually about this. What you thought about this person is actually this. And like at no point in the story, like I thought it was going a direction, and then I was like, wait, that's not what this is about at all. That's not what is going on here at all. And so the whole movie, I was like refreshed, because like I was just gleefully surprised about every little plot twist and things like that. And I'm just like, this is good storytelling, because it's not like from the very beginning, these are my archetypes. You know, this is my, you know, protagonist, blah, blah, this is how it's going to play out. This character is developed by this certain point, so we're going to follow them on this journey. No, it wasn't about that at all. It was just sort of like a self-reflection and sort of accepting who you are is kind of what I got from a few of the characters. But, like, not all of them were going on the same journey.
No.
You know?
And no, yeah. And not at all. And talking about what you're saying, it does a great job creating such a complex story, even down to a structure. And like, I feel like they do a great job using actions to show that through them, because the two moments that stand out in my head of like these contradictory, like you said, no character is an archetype, because no character even themselves knows exactly what they're doing. Like, for example, the two that pop in my head, the graveyard scene, how each of them are all paying respects and then swiping the food, the booze, swiping the... Literally, this woman sees what is a grave, you would assume, of a baby. Because it had baby's milk, diapers, and stuff as an offering. Miss Hana just comes and swipes it all. And then you go to...
I mean, technically that baby ain't gonna be using it, so...
You're right! You ain't lying! That is true, that baby ain't gonna be using it. And also, like, quick side note, Miss Han is also a complex character, because even they can't decide. Like, I can't come out of this going, oh, she loves Jin. Like, romantically. I'm like, I think she loves Jin, but I can't tell if it's romantically or familiar, because...
In Miss Han's own words, I'm just a queer that cares.
Yeah! Like, Miss Han was such, like, was literally one of my favorite, if not my favorite character. But another complex moment came from Jin at the wedding, when he's about to like whack this dude with a bottle, but then the dude gets shot, and his first thing is, oh my god, are you okay? To the dude he was about to attack, and genuinely means it.
It's because I don't think he wanted to kill him.
No.
He just wanted to put out his own frustrations, but he was really frustrated with himself and not the person. He was just looking for an outlet.
I know, and I was like...
He explains that later. He's like, when she said that he was stable, he's going to live.
Yeah.
He's like, good. You know, he didn't deserve that. You know, it was my fault. I racked up all that gambling debt and da-da-da-da.
Like, this movie did such a good job developing all three characters. The runaway was great.
And by the way...
Yes.
Jin could have been a cyclist. You saw how fast he was running that fucking bike.
I was about to say, like, are you sure you weren't? Like, are we sure he wasn't a cyclist? Because this man was like, I
didn't know what story to believe.
I thought he died like three times in this movie. Like the truck, when he fell down and got hit in the back, when he got beat up by those people.
Kids beat him up.
I was like, this man is just like on death's door all the way through. And honestly, and now to kind of mess with our structure a little bit, Oscar, let's talk about the big question we have, because I feel, and I personally believe this, we could talk about this movie for quite some time when it comes to the complexity of the story, because that is what this director is really known for, is picking complex character-driven stories where nothing is as simple as going from A to B. It's a whole bunch of different routes, whole bunch of different journeys. Like, we could even say within this movie, there are five stories that are started and only two stories that end, And one of those endings, we don't even see the start of, which is the woman who kidnapped the baby from the beginning. Like, we see the end of her story. Like, we never see the beginning.
There's like three different turns to that. I was just like, it's this, it's that. Okay, we have some closure. No, we don't. We have some more closure. No, we don't. I was just like...
Yeah. Like, it was...
Traditionally, I like this because it makes tension... In a non-violent way, mm-hmm. to where nowadays we need like some sort of big bad. We need to be able to hit something with our mm-hmm. fist mm-hmm. for some closure. And in this one, it wasn't that at all.
No, it was so well done. I really like that. But Oscar, I'm gonna ask a question, and it's gonna be our big final question. And then before we go, do you feel like it holds up?
Okay.
Is this a Christmas movie to you? Oh, he's thinking, people. He's thinking.
No, I mean, like, I want to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, like, it was around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have that technicality. But, like, you know, like, not just about... I don't care about, like, okay, so, like, the first part, it was on Christmas Day, and the rest of it was a few days after, however long it was, a week or whatever the case may be.
Up to New Year's.
Yeah. So, like, but it was a journey about the self,
mm-hmm.
but it was still kind of a story about family.
Oh, it was heavy about family, but it was like found family.
Because it was like found family because they were broken. And then as the story continues, they finally realize, you know, we've had our family here the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard because it's not a traditional meaning of Christmas type deal. Because there's a lot of self-reflection and self-journey, but I don't... It's hard. Like, to me, it didn't feel like a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Me, I say... Okay, so... I say it is a Christmas movie, 100%. Not just because it's just starting in Christmas. I feel like, obviously, if it didn't start on Christmas, would I... I feel like this. It's a Christmas movie. Barely. But there is actually strong symbolism to Christmas. And if you took out the day of Christmas, it still is talking about Christmas, but not in the way you're thinking of in the sense of Christmas, literally, but like in the Christian Christmas. Specifically, emphasis on Christian. And like, because Ms. Han got her miracle baby. That is Immaculate Conception. I know I'm going to stretch this part. Not a manger. But it was a dumpster. They couldn't find a hotel or a place to live in, so they were there. But mainly, the three wise men concept was the three homeless people. Those three.
I mean, I can see that. I can see a reflection with it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying a strong stance.
Because even Joseph and Mary were unwanted and they had to do a lot of traveling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, being accepted by, you know, whether it was more homeless or the Yakuza and mm-hmm. things like that. I mean, like, so, like, I guess I can see the parallels. Yeah. And then I'm thinking about, like, all the miracles that kind of happened with the baby around mm-hmm. and they were like have the light shining on the baby every time.
Yeah, like the baby literally was a miracle baby, like even down to Miss Han really saving her, having her life saved was just, that was a miracle.
Yeah, it was like, and like sort of like the imagery, the animation on that mm-hmm. was really beautiful. Okay, there is one thing I want to talk to you about.
Go ahead. Quick. Okay, go ahead.
The animation did get funky like 2/3 of the way in.
I liked it because the funkiness came from like over exaggeration, I feel.
Yeah, I got that, but it's not consistent.
Okay.
Because it only happened in two parts. It happened in two different conversations
mm-hmm.
and not together. Like it happened, then there's more of the film, and then it happened again. So it wasn't consistent, and that was the only thing that bothered me because it was like very striking because it was very exaggerated.
Yeah,
you know, like Miss Hanna like going like this and stuff like that, and like the
in the hospital. Like, yeah,
like, yeah. And then the other one before, when it was Gin and the other dude talking,
yeah,
and it was just very exaggerated. I'm sitting there like, it's kind of off-putting only because it's so different.
Yeah, like,
if looking... the whole movie was like this, like, there's an anime called Dead Leaves, and it's just a movie, but it was like that, where everything was just very exaggerated proportion, stuff like that. And so that was literally my only critique of the entire film.
I thought
the voice acting was good, animation was good, story was more than what I expected from this.
I feel like the art style is so distinct because it teeters the line between anime and trying to capture realistic. Like, in the sense
that's
of,
one
like...
thing I've always...
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the one thing I've always applauded anime for. Like, even my art teachers, like, back in high school, like, oh, the proportions are all wrong, all the highlights in the eyes, all that. Okay, forget the big, goofy manga eyes.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, Japanese anime... backgrounds, vehicles, cars, doesn't matter what it's, food looks 10 times better than any American animation.
Yeah, because they and they structure how to create people focusing more on emotion than realistic proportions. They're like, what can we get more expressive about them? How can we make this character design more distinct than being a picture like of realism?
One of the big ones that popped out, like, look at Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
The backgrounds are 10 times more detailed than the characters.
Ghibli's food.
Mouth-watering.
There's an anime called, a movie called Flavors of Youth. Their food looks so beautiful. Because it's about food, the movie. And it looks so beautiful. So beautiful. So, Oscar, I have a question. Mm. Going through Tokyo Godfather, we've talked about it very positively. And the reason I didn't focus on any negatives is because, honestly, at the moment, I can't think of any. But if you're listening and you have some points you want to bring up, let us know. Definitely. But I want to ask you, does this film hold up compared to modern anime movies, compared to everything? Does this film hold up?
It not only holds up, it's something that people need to take a moment and step back to.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. Tokyo Godfathers is a film I feel people need to see.
Because we are in a rut of, like, the same flavor of anime. Like, it's different wallpaper, it's different prettiness. Don't get me wrong, I love the animation of Demon Slayer. I love the aesthetics. But I feel like I've been watching the same anime for 5 years.
You know how I feel about, like, modern anime. I like it, but everything you're saying is also true. If that makes sense,
I'll still enjoy it, but guess what? The main character is just going to punch that bad guy harder, and there's less and less complexity with these characters. Yeah, you might get one sob story, and it's striking to us, oh, the little sob story, oh, development, but it's in a sea of just you know, punch for 300 episodes. And so we take those moments, and we're like, oh, that's so good, but in reality, was it that good? And Tokyo Godfather made me reflect on that. I was like, no, it's really not. It's really not. Like, this is complex storytelling, and this is, we know exactly what's going to happen.
I agree. Like, I think you captured it right there. Honestly, it's 100% worth the watch. It's 100% worth seeing, and I can't wait. Like, honestly, Tokyo Godfather, I feel so bad that this director died such at a young age, because...
He did?
Yeah. Oh, he's dead. Yeah.
Oh, you should start with that shit, because I was like, man, I can't for the next one.
No. Fuck. He has, I think, 3 to 4 films, and then Paranoia Agent, and that is, as directing, I know he's worked on other stuff, but, like, that's him on the helm. That's it. His stuff, he's, like, one of the directors you need to know. Satoshi Kon. He's, like, one of the directors, like, when it comes to anime, you should look into him, because he's one of the people that defines the genre, in my opinion. That's how I'm going to leave it at. So definitely watch Tokyo Godfathers. Definitely holds up. And Oscar, congratulations. This was our first Christmas episode. Ding, ding, ding. Shaka, ding, ding, ding. Shaka, ding, 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 ding. And actually, happy holidays to everyone else who doesn't celebrate Christmas. I know I'm not familiar with Hanukkah's traditions. I don't know if they're over.
Hanukkah already passed, bro.
Oh, I am dumb. I am sorry. I'm so dumb. But to everyone's holidays, I hope you have a great time. I hope you are being safe during this season. I hope you You, I hope, honestly, take, after everything that's happened, this is legitimately true, be it Tokyo Godfather, which I recommend 100%, or be it another film, one that you've seen 1,000 times, or something, take this moment and, like, relax. Let literally, and this is coming from a dude who spends every day this whole year trying to work harder and harder than the last day, especially this day, take a break. Just take a break from everything. Enjoy yourself, do something fun, and do something good. Anything you want to say, Oscar?
I mean, as a non-Christian that celebrates Christmas,
same.
Happy Yule to all. I mean, every religion and everything has their sort of celebrations around this time, just because of the way it is with nature and all that. We all have to kind of come together for survival, so we've developed all these things kind of around that. So the main thing we can take from all this is being with our loved ones and appreciating what we have, because, you know, it is fragile, you know. And I think this year a lot of people have realized that, whether it's relationships or financial or whatever the case may be. So just be happy with what you have and appreciate that, and you know, strive to make things better every single year.
And I agree with that 100%. And hey, and don't worry, next week is gonna be our New Year's special, and we have,
and we're gonna get to comedy, I promise.
Oh god, yeah, like we have something special planned. It is going to be very different from our wheelhouse, 100%. But at the same time, I can't think of something else we should be doing. And honestly, let us know how you appreciate it. Because if it goes out well, if y'all like it, we'll do it every once in a while. But
yeah,
consider like a New Year's gift is coming to you. Next is it a gift? We'll find out if it's a gift.
And for us Hispanics, I mean, Christmas season doesn't really, like, our celebrating doesn't end until January 6th. So.
Yep, so, for us, it's going to keep going. So consider this a New Year's or happy continued celebration until Three Kings Day, because that's when us it ends.
So coquito every day.
Woo! Have great fun time! I don't know. This is just something I've been playing with the whole time. I don't even know.
I don't know what that is.
It's
I
a coaster.
It's like a little.
It's a coaster.
I was like a Looney Tunes black hole.
Like. Yeah, like, and I just put my hand through, and I'm like, woo. No, it's a coaster.
That's an actual item in D&D.
Yeah, isn't it? Like the portal.
Yeah, you roll it up.
I forgot what it was called.
It's, I don't know, portable hole.
That is what it's called.
Really?
I don't know.
But so do you make your own coquito or do you buy the coquito?
I normally make. I make my own. But maybe this year I'll buy it, honestly, just because it's just going to be me and Ari, so just only two. So I might just make
Well, I feel like that's when it's the best time to make it, just because, like, I always make it and it's just enough for, like, two people.
I don't know. Like, this year we're doing something different, where normally I cook and everything, but we might want to take it easier and, like, just treat it as a lazy day, especially with everything. But bye! Oscar, you forgot to hit him with our famous catchphrase, actually. Oh, and our house cleaning. Jesus, we did so bad.
You did so bad. I don't know what you're talking about. I had all of this planned.
You know what? Nah, we're skipping for this year. We're skipping for today.
That's our Christmas gift to y'all.
Yeah, that's our Christmas gift. You know what? Like, also, we had that whole dick sucking episode yesterday. I was stroked enough yesterday. Yeah.
That's true. And don't forget, Skronk!
God, you couldn't even give me a ho-ho Skronk.
I mean, we'll start the new year with something else, I promise.
No, wait, can I try a Skronk then?
Sure. Yeah, you're like the, like 2000 American Godzilla with, Inspector Gadget.
I got you.
Ferris Bueller, what was the actor's name? I forget his name already. JoJo would know. JoJo, what's Ferris Bueller's name? His real name. She's probably sleeping.
Yeah, it's Martin something, I think. I just saw like 3 movies with him, and I was like, I really like this. I just saw Ferris Bueller, like literally last week. I got a good one. Ready? That? Is this the end of the episode? Just gonna be us?
When you go so high, your microphone like kicks it off, so I can't hear it.
Really? So you don't even get to hear this deep, subtle. Let me do a better one then. This will be the final one, people. I promise. Scryonk. Yeah. Scryonk. Godzilla After Hours.
I heard none of that. It was complete mute.
What?
Yeah, I heard none of it. Yeah.
Okay,
that's your setup, dude. Don't.
Nah, it's Discord. Discord, like, it counts it as noise cancellation. Like, oh, this ain't real noise.
So good news, if Godzilla attacks New York, none of us will hear it.
You won't hear it through Discord. Enrique, what's going on? You can't hear Godzilla. And my view is like, arr! And yours, you're like.
Literally, like you went, arr! That's all I heard, and it just went mute again.
Fucking bye, people. Happy holidays.
Bye. Okay.